Harper goes to the Phillies for $330 million and unlimited supply of hair gel. Baylor women's hoops still overall number one. And congrats to Roger Federer for his 100th career tournament win in Dubai. This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow!
A perfect score. 10.2.
He had to the 2-0, now the 2-1. Why is
Jordan? Hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Sports Without Balls. I think that's the correct name. I started this podcast in the 80s. This is Aaron Fell, your host. We are the All Things Comedy Podcast Studio in Burbank, California. We're back in the studio. We've got Aaron in the booth.
Gold cards.
Gold cards. Pitchers and catchers. They're still there.
Yeah. No, they're playing.
They've
games.
Reported about 16 days in. Aaron, my panic has already started about fantasy baseball, but we will get to that. We're going to introduce this guest, and I'm so excited because I'm ready to nerd out. This woman, phenomenal comic. She's got an album called Savor It. She does a podcast called Self Helpless with Taylor Tomlinson and Delaney Fisher, two other phenomenal comics. And she's here today. Kelsey Cook is in the house.
Yay! Hi! Thank you for having me.
That took 17 minutes.
I loved it. I was enjoying every moment of it.
I'll tell you why my brain is on freeze today. Yeah. I have the best gig ever for the last, like, probably 8 or 9 years. I perform on all gay men cruises.
What?
It's this company called Atlantis Events. And
oh my God, I want to just go. Can I just go?
It makes up for every shitty gig I've had for 18 years of my life. And this last cruise was, you know, honest to God, I was like, I'm the luckiest person alive. You know, I've done stand-up in, like, you know, donut shops and laundromats.
Right, of course.
So I've paid my dues.
Yeah.
But this was in French Polynesia.
What?
And we landed in Tahiti.
Oh, my God.
And I've just been, like, I did, like, half work days and then half just sit on the beach with, like, a Mai Tai.
Jesus.
Three or four shows, Dance Party USA. I got back yesterday, and I'm like, I can't even speak. I literally can't even speak. Like, I write down Savor It. I thought it said swoon. I don't even know where I'm at.
Swoon it. Swoon it, ladies.
Was that your alternate album title, Swoon It?
It's a new dance move I'm trying to get going. The Swoon It. Wow.
Well, good for you.
That's incredible.
I know. I just got really lucky.
Damn.
Yeah, and so I'm in full vacation mode. It was like a half vacation. It was just so I have never... I can't even imagine, like, being able just to go to those islands just like when normal people take regular vacations. But it was the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It was insane.
I'm incredibly jealous. That sounds wonderful.
Anyway, so I'm woefully unprepared. I didn't watch many sports. I did watch Mississippi State, South Carolina women's hoops, of course, yesterday when I got home. I taped it. It was a phenomenal game. So we've got we'll do some women's basketball, and we've got a women's hockey playoffs this weekend. Sunday, I'm going down to Long Beach, as you do, for a doubleheader for UCLA softball. Do I have a problem? Yes, I do. But today, I'm literally leaving at 9 a.m.
God, whoa. You are devoted.
I love it. I have like four long shows at Flappers this weekend. So Sunday morning to watch like a doubleheader of softball will just be like, oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah. You know how gay I am. I'm pretty gay.
Do it up, girl.
Do it up. So I've wanted to get you on this program for a while. And of course I dropped the ball, but I'm picking it up because my listeners, you're going to die. Kelsey, we're just going to have a ridiculously fun, random conversation about the sport of, wait for it, everybody grab your seats, foosball!
Heyo! Yeah, I'm assuming this is the first time that this sport has been spoken about on the podcast.
It sure is, and I'm going to kick us off this way.
Okay.
I went into Google.
Okay.
And this is how I wanted to start this discussion. And I wrote down, is foosball a sport?
Yes.
This is what Google had to say. Now, I already was like, yes, it's a sport. But I could see how there could be some controversy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it says, when you look at the definition of the word sport, which is an activity involving physical exertion and skill in which an individual or team competes against another or others for entertainment.
Yeah.
It's actually not entertainment. I take it very seriously. then you can say foosball is a sport. It's not like a sport like tennis or basketball. But it is a form of sport.
Yeah. You know, I had, so I have a foosball web series called Wrists of Fury that is through the All Things Comedy Network on their YouTube. And the first episode I had on Jay Larson, who's a great comedian.
I love Jay Larson.
I love him so much. And he said, I think I said something about foosball being a sport. And he was like, all right, take it easy. Like, this isn't a sport. I was like, no, this is a real sport. And he goes, I think any time where you can like take a timeout in something to go get wings, that's not a sport. I was like, you know, Jay, that's actually a pretty good argument. Like, take a smoke break. Can't do that in a lot of sports, but foosball, like, 100% okay. But yeah, I mean, it was going to be in the Olympics a few years ago, then it fell through. But I think anytime something's in the running for the Olympics, like, that's, oh, yeah, that's the stamp of approval in terms of it being a sport.
Yeah, I mean, the... If anyone's ever played foosball, obviously we'll do a deep dive into the rules because I have so many interesting questions.
Wow, yeah.
Packed my notebook with questions, of course. And my listeners know I go into real nerd fest stats and
love
deep
it.
Dives.
I'm here for it.
But foosball is extremely difficult,
yeah.
And it's not... And I had no idea that the tournament levels, like, they're so... It just reminded me when I was thinking about, you know, you probably get like, oh, foosball's not a sport, you know, and I'm sure they say it like that. but I had a moment where I flashed back when my family and I, we played like these epic Trivia Pursuit games. Everybody's like a teacher in my family.
Pursuit,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like total nerd fest, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Same.
So
way.
I'd always go for the sports category, you know, but
yeah.
It was sports and leisure. And
oh,
I can't
yeah.
even tell you how many goddamn leisure questions I'd get. And I'd be so angry because, you know, my parents would be like, oceanography. My sister's a professor. Like, it's so annoying.
Oh, God.
And my twin and I'd be like, right?
yeah.
But I would get like, I'd be like, okay, give me like, you know, jersey numbers or like, I'd memorize
I got
all
this.
Of it.
Yeah.
And it would be like, the one I kept getting was, what's in a Tom Collins? And I'd be like, fuck you, Tom Collins!
Get the fuck out of here. That
yeah.
does not belong in the same category.
Like the leisure.
All.
And I'd
yeah.
be like, a lot of people probably put foosball in the leisure category, but I'm going to put it in the sport
it
category.
It is not leisurely.
Yeah.
At least not the way I play. Like,
yeah.
It's a sweaty event. Muscles are pulled. I've seen people rip the skin off of their forearms because there's a shot called a rollover where you like pin the ball and you like move it with the inside of your wrist. And when you're ready to shoot, you roll up and catch the rod. And people were doing that so many times at certain events, like or certain tournaments, that it would just like rip open their skin. This is not
yeah.
leisurely.
That's not real. Leisure. I mean, there's like, you know, Saturday afternoon beer foosball, but I want to talk about the competitive.
Yeah.
Competitive foosball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did, before we go into the exact shots, because I was watching YouTube tutorials this morning.
Oh, my God.
And I need you to explain all these shots because they looked extremely interesting. By the way, Tom Collins is lemon juice, simple syrup and gin.
There we go.
It's like a gin and lemonade. Now that I'm describing it, because I think I'm the only lady that drinks gin.
Dude, I have a whole joke about that. That gin is my go-to.
Oh, my God. Gin's my go-to.
That's so fun. I'm not kidding. That's been like my opener lately is like that. It's like talking about this is how white trash I am that I used to take shots of gin and chase them with deli meat.
No.
Like
no.
That's who
oh
I am.
God. Okay, well,
that's
I'm
from.
That's sounds absolutely like a fucking nightmare. But I will give you a cold gin and tonic on a hot day. I will not
I
do shots chased by deli meat.
They were horrific. It was in desperate times during college. And
okay. All right, that's college. That's asterisk scroll down college.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I love gin.
That's
people
delicious.
People don't fuck with gin. I feel like it's mostly for like 80-year-old Vietnam vets. But like
oh my God.
But like I love it.
Yeah. No,
gin is so good.
Gin is delicious. And now I'm starting to really branch off because for a good I would say I have no tolerance anymore. So I'll have some wine and then when I'm splurging, I'll go with my gin and tonic.
Yeah.
But I always used to be like Tanqueray, I don't want to talk about it. And now I'm just with all these like new gins and like it just feels like this is like a resurgence of
mm-hmm.
gin. Now I'm like trying everything, being
yeah.
like now I don't think I could ever go back to Tanqueray. Unless you want to sponsor this podcast.
Sup Tanqueray. We got at you.
Hi, Tanqueray.
Have you seen the commercial for Ryan Reynolds gin? He has a whole like line of gin called Aviation Gin. The commercial is so fucking funny. Like everybody should
writing this down.
Go on
Ryan
YouTube and watch
Reynolds
it.
Gin. And I'm a big fan of Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, it's hysterical. It's truly a really, really good commercial.
He's so funny.
Yeah. It's very like on brand. It feels like Deadpool is doing a gin commercial basically. Yeah, I think the mistake that people make with gin is that they just will do the little tiny like bar lime squeeze in it, and then it's a lot of pine cone.
A lot of lime.
Put a lot of lime.
A lot of lime.
A whole half of a lime in there, man. Yeah. Don't fuck around.
I don't think I've ever ordered a gin and tonic going, I always go gin and tonic, throw like five limes in
there. Yeah, I know. I don't even
know. We are now best friends.
Yep.
You're taking me out and we're playing foosball.
I feel like our spirit animals are really like connecting.
A pine cone. We have two pine cones for spirit animals.
Just my pine juice.
All right. So I have to ask you like some establishing probably questions you've answered 790 times, but then we'll get into my new plan for us to make money in bars.
Oh,
we'll get to that.
Perfect.
So just for the listeners, since foosball is super fun and random, you have to tell the family the family background.
History. So my parents met playing in a professional foosball tournament, which is like the saddest thing.
It's not sad at all. I love this so much.
Two virgins coming together, I feel like. you know, it's just like, what were they doing that was something they sought out. Anyway, they found love at a foosball tournament. They had me. They had my brother. So I wouldn't exist if it weren't for foosball. So to me, it's not. It's more than just like the sport that I love. It's like
it's your birth story.
It's my birth story. It's the reason I'm here. So, and then they ended up getting divorced several years later. But my mom still tours and like plays professionally. I mean, she's a retired school teacher now, but like she's considered the historian of the sport. She's played for 40 years. She's in the Foosball Hall of Fame. She's in
so awesome that there is a Foosball Hall of Fame.
I know. And it's like in Vegas, of course. Like where else would it be?
Wow. You know, just I was thinking like upstate New York.
Oh, really?
And like Oneana or something.
I could see it there too. Or Florida. It's got a Florida vibe to it. But so is she like she's co-written two different books. The most recent one is the World Table Soccer Almanac with a foreword by Woody Harrelson, which is just so random and weird.
Wait,
and amazing.
Is he
like a huge foosball enthusiast.
No.
I was playing.
And how did they meet? Did she meet Woody Harrelson and they talked about foosball?
No, the other author knew him through
Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. My mom and Wesley teamed up. A little foosball action. I don't know how they knew each other, but anyway, knew each other well enough that Woody Harrelson did the forward. So crazy. And she's like, she's just still kicking ass and taking names. She's still really good. She does coaching on the web series, Wrist of Fury. So like people, it's like fun.
I have
a friend.
To start watching this web series.
It's really fun. It's a lot of fun. So like people FaceTime my mom halfway through the episode to get some coaching tips.
No.
Cause she's like the OG foosball player. And, we still go together. We're going to be in Portland in 2 weeks for a foosball tournament there, playing women's doubles together. And it's still like a very real thing in my family.
I cannot believe you're playing women's doubles with your mom. That's so awesome.
Thank you.
I love this.
Thanks.
I want to play like ping pong with Mary Foley. Mary Foley, she's 82.
Suit up, Mary.
Come on, Mary. Let's do this. I'm already going down there in 2 weeks to fill out our March Madness brackets. She's obsessed with basketball.
Oh, that's awesome.
But we grew up playing a lot of badminton. I bet we could do a senior.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. She's 82. She's going to be propping me up. She's actually doing well. So many questions. So let's start with the mom-daughter tournaments.
Okay.
So what kind of, when you're talking about just like basic foosball tournaments, when I put in, this was the only thing I found very annoying in Wikipedia.
Mm.
It was the list of World Table Football Championships. And it was all dudes. I'm like, where are the ladies?
Oh, that's weird.
Is it just like I put in the wrong thing?
If you go
to... So maybe I have to scroll down and there's like a women's category?
If you go to like ITSF.com, which is like International Table Soccer Federation.
I wrote that down. I was like...
TSF. Yeah, there are several different main websites that carry kind of like what the main upcoming tournaments are around the country, and the World Cup is coming up. The World Cup's been held in like Nantes, France for a few years now. I can't remember if it's still in France.
66 countries in the International Table, or is it Table Soccer Federation? Mm-hmm. So then I wrote down multi-table World Championships and World Cup biannually. So let's just start with this.
Yeah.
So just like a basic, are most of these championships, they're men and women, and there's different categories
different
based
events.
On age? And because I wrote down all this stuff, it was like mixed, Europin, pole shot. So you've got to talk us through this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So there's different events. So mixed doubles is one of the events.
Okay.
So that's where it's a man and a woman together on a team.
Okay.
There are like senior doubles where it's like over 65, and junior doubles, and women's singles, amateur singles, no pro mixed. Like there are usually at least like 15 to 20 different events every tournament. So you go and it's kind of like gambling because you have to pay like a base registration fee, and then you have to pay an entry fee per event, or like a package fee to play in several different ones. And so you're putting your money in and you're just like hoping that you're going to play well enough to
keep advancing,
to like win your money back, or to get like first, second, or third, which is usually where the money is. Trophies.
But all right, hold on, let's back this up.
Yeah,
is it, so let's say there's a tournament, you don't have to qualify, you can like pay your way in.
Totally.
And is it expensive? Like, what are we talking?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what it is. When my mom and I go to the Portland one in a couple weeks, that one's not that expensive because it's like a little bit of a smaller tournament.
Yeah.
But like
a couple $100, a couple $1,000, like
a couple hundred.
Okay.
The World Championships, that's when it can get more expensive. I feel like some years I've paid maybe like $200 to $300 in just like fees to play.
Okay.
And then it's also, I mean, you're flying, you're putting yourself up,
for the love of the game.
For the love of the game. Like a lot, the most I ever won in one tournament was $800. And I mean, that was like a rare thing. And usually I do not walk away with that much money.
Yeah.
So it is really mostly for the love of the game.
And do you meet cool people?
It's the people in the foosball community. It's like the craziest group of people. There should be like an MTV True Life. I'm a pro foosball player, because it's just such funny, interesting characters. People who, there's stories of a guy like back in the day who had to be taken out in a straitjacket because he was like on a bunch of drugs, and he like lost and he freaked out, and
oh my god,
cops were called. And people who I don't know. They're like, there's a lot of drugs, I think.
Well, what kind of drugs? Like adrenaline drugs, or just like,
I don't know, like, excuse me.
Like some serious Adderall or like heroin? No,
I feel like back in the day, it was like a lot of coke.
Yeah.
Now I just feel like it's more weed, and like people will start drinking early in the day at foosball tournaments.
And performing.
Because there's certain people who feel like they play better with like a buzz, and I have to play like completely sober, like no gin for me at the tournament.
Do you drink before you do shows?
No.
Yeah, neither do I.
I really only do it like socially.
Yeah.
I'm like going out with friends or something like that.
Yeah.
But
I can't imagine you'd play better. Like it's all like,
because it's
all the movements, like the dexterity,
exactly.
And like your concentration.
It's all hand eye, and it's the thing that's crazy about foosball. It's like it's within millimeters that a shot can go perfectly, or a shot can completely fuck up and spray out of a corner and like not go anywhere you want it to.
Yeah.
So if you're drunk or even buzzed, to me, like those millimeters make such a big difference.
Yeah.
So
I can't imagine playing like coke, I get, right?
Sure. Yeah. Or like Adderall or something like that.
I can imagine in the 80s them doing blow right off the side of the table and going for it. What did I encourage? The lineman from the Rams.
Rams. Yeah.
I encouraged two of the linemen of the Rams to do blow right before the game.
Oh my gosh.
Because I needed them to kill the Patriots. And you know, they were drug free, and who won? Patriots. Yeah. So whatever.
What
I'm like,
if
a little blow, get in there. Yeah, that's right. We called the episode Just a Bump. I was just like, come on. So I get that, but I can't imagine being high.
Yeah. There are people who come high, and it's just, it's an interesting group of people because a lot of these people.
This is like a cool documentary.
Oh, I mean, there's one coming out.
There must be, right?
Yeah, there's one coming out. It's about to like make its premiere at a film festival in Florida, and then hopefully it will get picked up on like Netflix or somewhere because they did a really good job. And they follow a lot of the big players and just certain, I don't know, like standout characters in the game because these are a lot of people who kind of like struck it rich with a billiard sport or an arcade game. And
so there is money to be made if your whole career is like, okay, I'm going to make a career out of foosball. You can make a decent, if you keep winning, you can make a decent amount of money.
The person who's like the most highly ranked in the world right now, Tony Spreedeman, he lives in Florida, but he has an RV. And so he just drives around the country and just goes
and plays football.
And he's like sponsored. That's like his career. But you have to be like top echelon to make it a career.
How old is that dude?
I think he's, I want to say mid 30s.
I feel like I need to rethink my entire career. Like, why can't I be in an RV just like playing ping pong or something?
Living your best life. Well, yeah. I always felt like, shit, that was, if there was going to be anything like that, it was going to be foosball for me because it's in my fucking blood. Like, it's if both sides of my DNA, I should have just cracked down at the youngest age. There are pictures of me playing when I'm like 2 years old, standing on a stool. So I'm like tall enough to see the top of the table and my parents coaching me. But, you know, there was a period of time where I grew up playing a lot of sports, volleyball, basketball, soccer, tennis, everything. And so, I don't know, for a period of time in like middle school, high school, I didn't want to devote that much time to foosball.
Yeah.
It seemed
so
kind
you
of
could have, like you could have.
I could have. Yeah, that would have been the thing.
How about now? I mean, if there's all ages groups, you know what I mean? Could you just like, I'm not saying you're going to.
Right.
I'm just saying. I want to manage your foosball career. You could go out and get an RV. I'm just saying conceivably, right?
Yeah.
And just
abandon
go from tournament
my life.
To abandon your life.
Yeah.
And just go for it.
Well, that's the hard thing with, so I do comedy full time and the tournaments are always the same as when comedy shows are. The tournaments are on the weekends. Stand-up shows on the road are always on weekends. And so the fact that I'm going to Portland in 2 weeks is a rare thing. I can usually only go to like a couple tournaments a year now where I just ahead of time, I'm like, I will not book any work. I'm going to go do this thing that I love that has like nothing to do with my career.
It's, I was just say like, I don't know, for physical and mental health, it just seems like, you know, to survive stand up, you know, like you have to, I mean, sports for me, it's like, you know, getting through four shows at meanwhile, I love Flappers and Burbank. I'll announce at the end of the thing, whatever. I'm just doing a whole bunch of shows. You know, it's so stressful. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like 8, 10 o'clock. You're doing 45 minutes. Then you're also concerned about, you know, people can see me anytime and they want in LA.
Yeah.
So why, you know what I mean? But then you have to pack the place on a, so Sunday morning, getting up and driving to Long Beach to watch UCLA softball is going to be a dream sequence. You know what I mean? Like you need those complete outlets. So I'm sure going and playing foosball with your mom is like the best break ever.
It's the best. I feel like that's such a big thing in stand-up that there's this idea that we are only supposed to do stand-up. And if you're devoting any time to anything else that like, you're not taking it seriously enough or like, you're not really in it, man. And it's, the older I get, I'm like, you need hobbies. You need other shit to like fill the well. Because if your whole life is only stand-up, it's like you are going to deplete yourself.
Yeah.
Burn out so hard. So I've started to really embrace it. And like, I'll just go take like weekends off to go see my friends somewhere. Shit that I just wasn't doing for so long. So I was like, no, I'm going to miss out on money and work and I'm going to get behind and...
Oh, no, I can't. That's exactly what not to do. When people always ask me, like, younger comics, they're like, oh, you know, like, for advice or something. I said, well, there's, you know, I said, have number one is if you want to devote your life doing stand-up, have the number one goal is to have the world's best personal life. That's that's your number one goal. And two, don't drink before the show. And because there's no rocket science behind it.
Yeah.
I literally have the same routine that I did 18 years ago when I started. You write some stuff out, see Tuesday at 8 o'clock if it works. You know what I mean? Like there's no, it's like you get up, you write, you get up. That's it.
Yeah.
So if you can nail down like personal life and not become a raging alcoholic or a drug head, you've got a solid chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It also helps if you're a white male. But I am
got
not
a dick.
Straight
great.
Man. White straight male.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, taking this time and doing all, like, I can't think of a better, like, fun weekend and playing foosball with your mom in Portland. It sounds like a dream.
Thanks. It's great. It's good too, because I'm such a competitive person,
yeah.
and sports have been like my whole life. It's
yeah.
just been such a huge part of my life always, that as an adult, I think it's easy for things to kind of fall to the wayside, and like you don't necessarily, you're not involved as you were in high school and college with certain sports. So for me, getting to go to a foosball tournament, it's like those competitive juices.
Yeah.
Just, I need that. I need that adrenaline. I need to feel like I'm invested in something.
Yeah.
And I love it.
We're going to take a pause from the episode for a second so I can tell you about a wonderful company that I'm partnering with called Care of Vitamins. It's amazing. It's a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. We got the winter blues coming to an end. It's time to get back into a routine that empowers you to feel your healthiest. Everybody needs a boost, whether you're looking for more energy, better sleep, or just to maintain stress, and these vitamins can really help. All you have to do is take a short online quiz. It takes 5 minutes. I did it. And it's really important because it asks you questions about your diet, your health goals, and your lifestyle choices in order to find out your personal scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations. And as we all know, vitamins should be easy and convenient to get. And with Care of, your subscription box gets sent right to your door every month with personalized daily packs, great for a busy on-the-go lifestyle, which is my life. And here is my favorite part. Care of really makes a difference. A portion of every sale goes towards the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins, which is amazing. And of course, Sports Without Balls has a great deal for you. For 50% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter sports50. That's sports50. Again, for 50% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter sports50. Do it.
Now, all right, let me go back to this real quick, because I'm always like kind of focusing on, the women's side of it. Has it been like a male-dominated thing? Has it there been like more equality as a year goes on, like, paralleling other women's sports? Or is it still... Like, what would you say the ratio is?
That's a good question. There are some really incredible female foosball players who just over the years have consistently, like, I don't know, taken first in all their categories. But I think sometimes what's tough is that you look at some of the dudes taking first place, and a lot of them are, like, really ripped. Like,
yeah,
very, just physically very strong. And... I know sometimes if I'm playing a dude, I'm like, shit, if I had that guy's muscles, I would be able to hit.
Wait, women play the men?
Yeah, in certain events.
Oh.
Like in open singles, open doubles, anything that's not like qualified as like women's singles.
Oh.
Especially when you're playing like mixed doubles and that's a man and a woman against a man and a woman.
Oh.
And sometimes you're like, well, damn, if I had the muscles that that guy had, I would be able to hit the ball that much harder.
Yeah.
Which would make it that much faster, which would make it that much harder to defend.
Yeah.
There are moments like that where I feel like, oh, okay, well, maybe if I looked like that dude or whatever, it would be a little bit different. But
that seems like, you know, and that little piece is literally how everyone describes,
sure.
like, you know, I can't even tell you the arguments I get into about like, well, the best female basketball player should, you know, be allowed in the NBA. And you're like, no.
Right.
Toni Harris, who's this like great story. She did the, commercial in the Super Bowl, female football player, and just signed, first collegiate scholarship for a female to play in men's football, right?
That
and
is
so
wild.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
But Katie Sowers, who's one of the only, I think the first female NFL coach, she's an assistant wide receiver coach for the 49ers. I happened to do an event with her 2 years ago, and now we text, and it's really exciting for
That's
me.
That's amazing.
And she's a twin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she needs to be best friends. We need to be closer than we are, Katie.
Come on now, Katie.
Come on. Call me back. Anyway, but anyway, she had a great tweet, and it was like, this is so fantastic, but let's work towards a female, you know, because there are semi-pro female football leagues across the country.
Yeah.
But let's work towards a female football league, you know, because the thing about it is they're different games. Like, I'm sure your strategy, like, maybe if you're playing, how can you possibly compete a guy that's like 6'4", 220 pounds, and his hands and his wrists are the size of, you know, peanut jars. I don't know why I just said peanut jars, but you know what I mean?
I like it.
You know what I mean? So it's like, the physical aspect, of course, you know, you can't, that's so hard.
Yeah, you can't disregard it. And it's not just, I mean, like, I beat dudes all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, especially on Rizzo Fury and stuff like that. But even guys who are like actual foosball players, I beat guys in tournaments and stuff like that. But I don't know. There just are times where you look at a certain guy and you're like, his physical strength is definitely an advantage here.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get as beefed up as this guy. And so it's like, you know, I know that foosball isn't all strength. There's so much strategy and ball control and all that. But, you know, strength is a part of it for sure.
Yeah. I just thought that that would be completely separate. I didn't realize that you would be playing dudes in tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Like in bars, of course. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I didn't realize that there was like, well, I mean, except for obviously like mixed doubles and stuff like that. But
yeah, you can't. I mean, it's if you want to. I mean, like for an event like amateur singles, then that's men and women. It's just anything that isn't qualifying, like, okay, this is a women's only event, then you get both. And you can choose to play in that if you want. Sometimes I decide not to because I'm just like, I feel like I might not advance as far as if it's just a women's only event. But I have before and beat dudes and, you know, it.
That must feel so extra good.
It's the fucking best. It's such like a big dick confidence moment.
I know.
Like,
I was going to say, just must be like, fuck you, Chad. You know,
it is
like,
always a Chad.
I just destroyed you.
It's nice.
It's just such, you know what it is? It's just, you know, whatever. I watch a ton of men's sports. I prefer women's sports, but I watch it, of course, you know, like March Madness. I'll be like, you know, watching equally amount of men and women and being so excited about it. But it's just this whole like cultural, you know, levels of sexism. You're just so over it. Like as a woman, you're just like, can we just play here's the game. This isn't men's isn't better women's isn't, it's two different games. Everybody just shut the fuck up.
Exactly. It's I think especially because when people look at me, they're like, oh, this is like this like little blonde chick, like what's she gonna do? So like when I beat people like that, that feels extra good because it's like,
I was gonna get this towards the end because we have to circle back with these shots I need to describe, but when you just said that, coming here.
Talking about hustling in a bar?
I mean, we just need to talk about hustling because I need to know your history of hustling and your future hustling of me with me at a bar.
Because
I feel like I'd be a really good wing woman.
I think you would. I honestly, I feel like we should probably do that at some point.
I mean, we should at least try.
Yeah.
Now, are there bars in around LA that are like foosball crazy?
Yeah, so there's a pub down in Los Feliz, and they, I think as far as I know, they still do a weekly tournament there. But yeah, like when I've gone on the road, if there's a place near the comedy club that has a foosball table, it's so fun for me. And I talk about this on stage, to just go up and like, if there's like some fratty dudes playing, just kind of be
like a dream sequence.
Like, oh, like, is this chess? What is that? You know, just act so stupid and play around terribly, just like spin the rods a bunch, which by the way,
you can't, right? I did not realize that. I wrote down 360 spins.
Uh-huh. You can only go up to a 360. You can't go past it. So yeah, I just act like an idiot and then kind of get to a point where I'm like, okay, like I think I got it. I'm feeling pretty good. Let's play for money. And like, of course, every guy will put like their whole wallet on the table and just be like, all right, you know, like, and they'll hand me the ball and be like, well, you can serve first. And, you know, it's like when I like pull out my like foosball grip glove. time to die, motherfucker. But,
oh my God, this is amazing.
But I do legit, like in my purse and backpack, I carry foosball wraps with me and foosballs just because it just becomes this habit, because when you go to actual foosball tournaments, you keep them with you. And so
you
now
have to bring your own foosballs to foosball tournaments?
You bring your own foosballs, or you buy them there. Okay. And so that you're not doing like coin op. You just, well, everybody shows up. Like a coin op table is where you have to put in 4 or 5 quarters to get the balls to come out.
Oh, okay.
Instead, you just, at a tournament, each person walks up with a ball and you put your balls like in the hole.
Okay.
That's what she said. So many sexual things with foosball always, but yeah, so you do it that way, but I always have a foosball wrap with me because that's how I do it. You can see it on the table out here at All Things Comedy. It's the same wraps that are on tennis handles, tennis racket handles.
Oh, okay.
So you just buy them at Big Five.
And do you wrap your hand like tennis players?
I don't wrap my... You wrap the actual rod itself. So you wrap it around the handle. Sorry, not the rod, the handle. So that way you have better grip.
Wait, you wrap your hand to the handle?
No, sorry, just the handle itself. Oh. So the handle is usually either wood or like a hard plastic. So you take the wrap and you wrap it around the handle. You put a little band around the bottom. And that way when you're playing, you have...
That's your grip.
That's your grip.
Oh, so you don't wrap your actual hand.
No, there are grip gloves. There are actual gloves that people wear. I don't like to because then my hand gets super sweaty and feels gross. But I always do the handle wrap. Yeah.
Okay. I have so many new questions. This is so exciting. I mean, I can't even tell you. Okay. It's just like this culture. It's like I'll never look at a foosball table the same way again.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you how I pulled a muscle in my back playing foosball. But anyway.
Oh, my God. That's right. I love that.
I had a lower back injury in foosball in college. Because I just get so, like, foosball is just so fun. And I haven't played it in so long.
Yeah.
And, well, whatever. I'll tell you the story. It doesn't take long. But I had when my back was starting. So I have 2 herniated discs in my back from playing college basketball.
Oh my God.
And it was like leading up to, I would be playing stuff and I'd be like, oh, my back. You know what I mean? And then it just went, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like you don't stretch, you don't take it. You know what I mean? You're playing everything.
You're
like,
young. You think you're like, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. So it was just build up and build up. And I'd been playing everything for such a young age. But a couple months before the last straw, it was 2 last straws, and the foosball injury was the second to last straw.
Jesus.
I was at some party. It was like sophomore year of college or junior of college, and I was killing it. I was going, you know what I mean? I was, you just get so into it, and it's so fun, and then I'm insanely competitive, right? Of course, I don't know any of these moves or whatever. I'm just like, come on, you know, just losing my mind.
Right.
I'm sure taking on like every, frat dude, and I was like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Yeah. And then, you know, and I just remember like, you know, but then of course you're flipping the guy, you know, it's a free for all.
Pandemonium. Yeah.
And I just, you know, spun it, and I could feel my back, and I literally had to like, and everyone was making fun of me because, you know, I was joking around, but I was like, oh, I'm just gonna take a timeout. But I was in so much crazy pain that I had a party.
Shut
I had to go
up.
Hide. I'd get an ice pack.
Oh my
and, like,
god,
lay down. Obviously my back was like slowly going, but
right.
I was like, I cannot believe I just pulled my back out with a foosball table.
Damn,
icing my lower back down.
I love you like that much more. That's
it was crazy.
So cool.
I remember sweating, being like, I'm gonna like, I was like, I was a crazy person. And I was like, I have to win. But it was just so, you know, so fun. And it just really feels like you're actually like on the field playing a sport.
Yeah, it's very fast paced.
Yeah, it's so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting you remember knock hockey? Did you ever play knock hockey?
Oh my God, love knock hockey.
I got a knock hockey table when I think I was like 13. And I played knock hockey like I was like a professional female hockey player.
Yeah.
Like I just was like the angle, like going, like I just was, whatever it was, I was just like, I'm going to play this until I'm like, my hands are bleeding, my back, I'm at a party and I am 20 years old icing my lower back down in the corner of a frat party.
That is an incredible story.
But so that's why I was like, of course it's a sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then when I was on the YouTube, like all these tutorials for all these shots, because I was like, well, what is the snake shot, which is the same thing as a rollover.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched, you know.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So you put it. So maybe you could just talk through some of these shots, because that's how you learn. Do you learn... Like your parents taught you shot by shot. That's how you learn it.
Yeah. It's kind of like rod by rod, to be honest, because it's, especially if you're playing singles, you have to be able to operate every area.
It's so difficult.
Yeah. So I remember my mom teaching me like 5-bar passing. So your 5-bar is the middle rod that has 5 men on it. And so she would have me do like 20 wall passes in a row and then 20 lane passes in a row. So like a wall pass is when you're passing it from your five bar to your three bar, which is your forward man, and you're passing it along the wall and catching it with your three bar. And then a lane pass is when you're doing, like, you're going like between somebody's men in an open lane, not against the wall. And there's, I mean, there are many different pass sequences that you can do there. So she'd have me do that. And then when you're shooting on your forward, there's so many shots, but what I love to shoot is a push shot, which actually is like not great for your wrist. A lot of people prefer a pull shot, but that's where you've got the ball set up on your middle man and you're pushing and shooting with that same man.
Oh, wow.
As opposed to like a push kick where you would push the ball with your middle man and then you would like shoot it with the far guy. Okay. If that makes sense.
You're passing to yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Whereas a pull shot, you are setting it up kind of like on the far side of the goalie and you're pulling it and shooting it.
Okay.
So this is so hard to describe without having it in front of me
but
and like showing you.
I think most people have played foosball a couple times. They sort of get the, you know.
Yeah.
Most of it's just a lot of drinking and you're flipping and you're just, and it's a free for all.
Right.
But yeah.
There's a Euro pin. I really like shooting a Euro pin where you pin the ball on like above the ball. So I've never had to really like describe this just in words,
but yeah,
you have your man pinned on top of the ball and then you kind of like, you can move the ball with it still pinned. And then when you're ready to shoot, you kind of wrap the man's feet around and shoot it. As opposed to a rollover where you have it pinned like that, but then you roll the whole man almost 360.
Oh, you like 360 and then sling it.
And that's why it's such a hard hitting shot because of that momentum. Coming from a really, really far angle.
So, all right. So in the Wikipedia, when they were just doing like, you know, World Cup men's singles and all this stuff, right? So it said, you know, the location of the event, the winner, nationality, and then it said shooting style, right?
Oh, okay.
So then that's when I wrote down snake shot, Euro pin, which you're describing. But so is that, I don't understand, is that like different event categories? Like, why would you win in Europin and not just win?
Oh, I mean, that's not saying they won in Europin. That's just like their preferred shot.
Oh, okay.
That's like their signature shot, the thing that they love the
most. So it gets that technical, like it gets down to, and so do you know, let's say like, this is really exciting for me.
Oh,
so
I love it.
When you, let's say like, you know, you're in a tournament, right? And the high level of play, let's say it's like whatever, is it like quarterfinals, semifinals?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Do you know like your competitor, like on that level, and they go, all right, well, this dude loves like the Euro pin. And then you figure out a defense for the Euro pin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's like good recon on the opponent.
Yeah. And I mean, generally in the foosball community, it's a lot of the same people you've seen for years.
Yeah.
I mean, there are new people playing all the time, but a lot of the time, if you haven't specifically played a person, someone you know has, and you can just pull somebody aside and be like, hey, do you know what that person shoots?
Yeah.
So you can kind of mentally set up and be prepared for that so that like when they get it on their three bar on the first point, you're not completely caught off guard.
Yeah.
But you have to have an arsenal because if somebody is blocking your go-to shot, you have to be able to change it up and try a bunch of different things.
How depressing are own goals?
Oh,
is it just, is it like absolutely devastating?
You always feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like the idiot factor never lessens.
Yeah.
Like no matter how long you played, you just feel, because the movement with foosball is so tiny and ticky tacky, just the smallest thing, you can look completely uncoordinated and like you've never touched a table before. When I do Wrists of Fury, I scored on myself. Sometimes it's not even that you hit it backward. It's that you hit it so hard and you miss and it hits the wall and bounces back into your goal.
And it happens so quick.
Yeah. I did that once. I think it was against Sam Tripoli, and you just are like, oh my God, I hate myself. Like I'm so competitive.
Yeah.
And it feels like the stakes are high with Wrists of Fury, which I mean, I know it's like a silly web series, but
you're
for
being
me,
filmed.
Yeah. And it's that kind of that like beat Bobby Flay vibe where you do not want to lose because
no,
then
not.
That person would talk shit forever.
Oh they, yeah. Like, especially Sam Tripoli. Jesus Christ.
I can't let that happen.
You can't. So you cannot not lose to Sam Tripoli.
Yeah. Nobody's beat me so far, thankfully, but we're only like six episodes in. So,
okay.
exactly from. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to start practicing. Yeah.
Get ready, Aaron. I have you on.
I'm going to take you down. I can't. I probably won't even score. Wait, so do you now, your mom and you going into Portland, do you mm-hmm. have, obviously your mom is like, you know, expert level.
OG.
Does yeah. she like fire you up? Does she have a game plan? Do you guys have game, like you go yeah. in and you know who you're going to be playing?
We don't know who we're going to be playing because it's always, you know, like yeah. random draw, but my mom has always been, she's like a world champion goalie. She's known more for like playing defense and doubles. Wow. And I'm more comfortable playing forward. So that's usually where we start, is that I start at forward and she starts at goalie. And if I'm unable to score a few times in a row, or if she gets scored on a few times in a row, then we'll switch.
Okay.
So that's what's nice. It's like you have to be able to play both positions, yeah. but that's kind of our strategy going into it.
And do you guys, what's the dynamic? Do you shit talk? Are you supportive? Like, it's your mom at the end of the day.
Yeah, we're support. I mean, like, we're really nice to each other. There have been years where just, for whatever reason, we don't play very well together and we'll get out really quickly. But 2 years ago, we took first in women's expert doubles in Vegas. And that was like,
oh my God, that's coolest. So exciting.
Like, I loved having that moment with my mom. Like, that was, it was so nice. But sometimes we have to play against each other in women's singles.
No.
That, for whatever reason, that has happened. Like,
it's like Serena playing Venus.
Yeah. It's happened almost every tournament. Like, somehow we end up drawing one another no. in one of the rounds, and it generally goes like it flip flops who wins. Like, 1 year I win, the next year she wins.
What's the overall head to head? Have you been keeping score?
I think at this point, maybe I've won maybe one more time than she has.
Wow.
But it's, she has so many years of experience. But what she says is like my advantage over her is that I play really fast.
Okay.
I've got the young, the whippersnapper
factor.
Young
wrists and hips.
If you will. Yeah, the young wrists and hips. That's awesome. So there are times where like I'll play super fast and that can be an advantage. And sometimes it can backfire if I'm not like taking my time to set up a shot and actually yeah. be careful with it. But she's more like, you know, set everything up, wait 5 seconds, that whole, because there's a lot of strategies. You have 15 seconds to shoot on your three bar.
You have 15 seconds?
Yeah, 15 seconds. So a strategy that some people do is they will wait till second 13 to shoot. So you're making the defender really
just
wear themselves
like
out.
This. They're doing this
yeah.
with their men?
They're really wearing themselves okay. out. So by the end of a game, you've kind of like put more miles on them and they're more tired. They're more worn out.
Oh, and you just like to like shoot from the hip?
I have to tell myself sometimes like slow down, stop, like wait and see, yeah. like find the hole. But my instinct is to just like catch people off guard. Because yeah. sometimes that does work. But yeah.
How about things like when you're trying to keep, you know, like, let's say you have the ball on the three bar, right?
Yeah.
Can only shoot from the three bar? Can you shoot from
you
the five bar?
You can shoot from anywhere. You can shoot from the five bar. You can shoot from the three bar. You can shoot from, when you score from the back, that's like the best feeling.
Oh,
you
have, it must be.
Yeah. You have to get it through so many men and it's a good feeling.
Like when it ping pongs off the thing. Did you ever score from the goal?
Yeah.
That to me has got to be like the greatest. It's like, fuck you, Jim. That's like
sit
shaming.
Down, bitch. Yeah. It feels really good when you do that.
How about tactics like you sneeze and then shoot? oh my God, something's behind you. Is there any like fun horseplay?
You can't
smoke
really.
Smoke and mirrors.
You can't. I mean, people will call referees over. Like, it's very serious.
Wow.
You can't, like, no distraction. There is a.
So there's refs?
Yeah, there's referees.
Wait, for every single table? Or if you have a problem?
If you have a problem, then you can call a ref over.
What's the top two problems?
Top two problems are jarring and time limit. So jarring is that somebody is playing defense so aggressively that they're physically moving the opponent's ball.
Oh.
Like if the person has the ball and the other person's...
And they're trying to shake the table and shit?
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't be trying to shake the table because...
But you're going back, you're slamming yeah. back and forth. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, so disrespectful.
Yeah, you'll get called for it.
I think most of my college years I spent jarring.
Jarring
I remember
moments.
Doing a lot of 360s yeah. and a lot of jarring.
Shake the table. But sometimes it's not even that people are ramming the rod back and forth to where, like, the like that rubber grip is hitting the sides. It's that sometimes I could show you. It's like you can move the rod so fast that it will make the ball move back and forth. And then, you know, you can't do that because it's throwing off the other person's shot. So jarring, and then time limits. Like I said, it's 15 seconds on that three bar. So if you're just sitting up there and it feels like that person is going for like 20 seconds, then you can be like, hey, I think you're holding it too long. And you, most of the time, if a ref gets called over, there's an actual like real dispute. It's never like very amicable. Like, yeah, I think you're right. Like, why don't we get, you know, people are like, fuck you. I'm not doing it that long. But So
are they usually, let's say like, you know, you go, listen, you know, Jane, you're hitting the, you're holding the ball too long. Yeah. So does that start like shit talking between you guys?
I mean, you see people get into fights.
Yeah.
It's a fairly like civil sport, but there are times where people get pretty pissed and fired up. There's a player named Cindy Head who I spoke about on the Crab Face podcast, and it's like, they fucking love it. Cindy Head, she's a retired cop from Alabama. And
lesbian.
She lesbian.
Yeah.
And she
just called that one out of the booth.
That's
retired
impressive.
Cop Alabama foosball. Gay. I don't need any more clues.
That's so impressive. That shot out of your mouth. I'm like, wow, you were good.
Get my people.
And she is arguably the best female player to have done it.
I gotta write. Is it Cindy? Like just regular Cindy?
Cindy Head. Yeah. Okay. She,
what a name for foosball.
I know. She's in the Foosball Hall of Fame. She's, I think, the winningest female player of all time. And she gets so fired up and she refers to herself in the third person. And
oh, I love everything about this.
And whenever she scores, she like slams her hands together. She like claps really loudly and she's like, yeah, come on, Cindy, come on.
Oh, like, my God.
Like loud. And people get so mad playing against her because it's like when you get scored on, that's already a shitty feeling. You're like dealing with that, trying to like regroup. And to have somebody screaming like, atta girl, Cindy, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Cindy, come on. It's so like, oh my God.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. So she's one of my favorite people to watch because not only is she so good, I mean, she's just incredible, but she is a character.
Come on, Cindy.
And she's also like the nicest.
Yeah.
Like when you talk to her off the table, she's the nicest person.
Yeah.
But she's so fired up on the table. So,
I have to say, I don't watch sports in public because I have guttural reactions and I don't want to disturb other people. And also I don't like when I go to a sporting event, the beauty of going to watch like to me live sports is everyone's on the same page.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, you go on Twitter and everyone's murdering each other verbally, you know? Yeah. So you're like, I just want to be, you know, 50,000 people, 30,000 people cheering for one thing in unison.
Right.
So if I go to a sports bar, I know there's going to be, you know what I mean? It's just, it's too hard for me. But I have like, when I get a positive thing for me is I scream like, come on, which sounds so negative, but like, that's when I'm like at my, like so excited.
You're proudest.
So if I was playing foosball, God knows, I'd probably be this person. I'd probably be, whenever I score, I'd be like, come on. Like, and then I'd go, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sure I would have like guttural moments of excitement. Mm-hmm. And then I would immediately apologize.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I feel like that would be my go-to. But I also think it would be really fun to try to pull some shit of, like, distracting the player. I think that would just be absolutely hilarious.
There's a woman named Moya who unfortunately passed away a few years ago. And it was really, like, it was, like, a kind of a freak accident thing. And it was really horrible. And she was also one of, like, the best female players out there. But she had these great strategies where sometimes if she was playing a guy, she would take a timeout and take her bra off.
No, no, no.
And she would like play barefoot. She was she was wild. She was so fun to watch. She'd take a timeout, take her bra off, and then just would play like aggressive defense, like get them boobers shaken.
No.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. So
is this all in the documentary? I mean, like Jesus.
I don't know if they were able to include anything about her in the documentary. I believe she passed away before they started recording, which is just so heartbreaking. But yeah, whenever like somebody asks me like, can you distract people or whatever, she's always the first person I think of to do. I'm like, damn, that's a bold move. That's a boss move.
Bold.
Taking that bra off. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. A couple other questions. Okay. So let's real quick. Color of money.
Okay.
So let's say you and I go to a bar, right?
Yeah.
And people are drinking. We're sober because yeah. we're on the clock and we're there to make money.
So serious.
Okay. And the second one, don't let me forget, it's outfits.
Okay.
Okay. Outfits. So okay, let's say, you know, we pick a date like, you know, like a Wednesday.
Okay.
And we go to a bar and there's a foosball table.
Yeah.
Now, conceivably, in one night, you know, because I can literally talk to a tree trunk. So I don't mind going up to anyone and being like, hey, you know. And of course, no one thinks I'm gay. So I'll start flirting.
Perfect.
Well, hold on. Anyway. And so we get, you know, Cheech and Chong that are like, oh, yeah, you guys yeah. are stupid. Right. And so then we... So let's say we do doubles, right? Okay. So let's say I do a whole bunch of practice, but really it's all about you. And I'm just there to play like basic defense.
Perfect. Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll start watching Risk of Fury. I'll get your mom. I'll get your mom and pointers. I will call in.
Yeah.
What do you think on any given night?
Yeah.
What do you think like a like pay you could make? Like general ballpark, like a couple $100?
I guess. I mean, if we were to go, let's say we're going to go hang out at a bar from like 6 p.m. on.
Yeah.
Let's give ourselves like a 4 or 5 hour window.
Yeah.
See who goes through there. I feel like we could get a guy to like comfortably throw down like a $20 bill
right.
on the table.
I'm thinking $20 games.
So if we ran through a few sets of guys, yeah, I would say $100, maybe more.
So let's say we get to the bar at like noon.
Let's say
and we
camp
start
out.
Doing 8-9 hour shifts. I think we could get out of some serious jams.
I know, I know.
I think we could really racket this up.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a master plan. Now, what do you wear? Do you have go-to outfits?
Yeah.
Do you have matching mother-daughter tournament outfits?
We don't have matching outfits, but there are, like, there's a lot of foosball gear. Some people do, like, sweatbands and the whole nine yards. Some people, when they are on a team, will get, like, matching jerseys made and yeah. matching, like, polos, anything like that. I, over the years, have just tried to be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
I think there was a time where I was trying to... Like, I don't know, look a little cuter. It's like an event. Like, oh, it'll yeah. be fun. And now it's just like, I know myself. I'm a sweaty beast. Like, I legit think I have hyperhidrosis. Like, I sweat. I am a sweater. And I got some pretty big old boobies. And so I'm like a sports bra, comfortable shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Jeans are fine. But the big thing is comfortable shoes. You are yeah. on your feet, like,
yeah,
the whole day.
Power Nikes. Yeah.
And some of these events start at like 9, 10 in the morning and you're playing till like 3 in the morning. I mean, these are long tournament days. So comfortable shoes and also shoes that are not too high up because that can throw you off.
Will you wear shoes or sneakers?
Like tennis shoes.
Okay.
Like comfortable shoes.
Yeah.
But there have been times where if I walk up to a table and I have like boots on for some reason, I have more of a platform. It actually throws you off because you're taller up and you're like,
yeah.
your angles are a little bit different. So
I would wear... Yeah, I mean, I'd get into matching sweats.
Yeah.
I would for sure. I always find it really uncomfortable to watch like female action stars that don't have their hair back. It's like
oh
one
my
of
God.
My pet peeves.
Oh my God, that's like, number one. Hair and ponytail.
Hair and ponytail.
Bobby pins for any bangs.
I might do
bangs.
A visor. I might do... I might like throw them off, but like a shit ton of makeup on with a visor, but like the makeup's like misplaced.
Right.
Like just, you know, just any type of distracting where I can yeah. get an advantage.
Yeah.
I might do like a little bell, like when I score, like hit the bell. I would try to just really try to throw them off their game because yeah. my skill level obviously is not as good as a professional.
Yeah. I've worn some low cut shirts sometimes if it's like a mixed doubles event. I've done that before.
Yeah. I might even scream out like tat when I score a goal, anything yeah. to give
anything.
Me an extra advantage.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to wrap this up, but I feel like I have so many other questions.
Oh man, we'll have to do like a part two sometime.
Is your mom ever in Los Angeles?
She comes and visits sometimes.
Okay. When she visits, can you please do me a favor and come back on
yes.
with your mom?
Oh yeah.
It would just be so fun. Would
oh,
she
yeah.
be down for a random podcast?
Yeah, she can tell you like so much about the history of the sport. She
I know, because
so
like I could totally nerd out.
Yeah.
All right. So, Sports Without Balls fans, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna record an extra one for Patreon this week anyway, so I will get to more women's soccer, women's basketball, women's hockey.
Just a couple quick announcements, and then we'll do feel good moment of the week. U.S. Women's or National Women's Hockey League playoffs are this weekend, 7, 8, and 9. You've got Minnesota doing home court advantage. So you've got games on March 7th, Saturday, March 8th. I'm sure they'll all be on YouTube, but if you go on Twitter, National Women's Hockey League, they'll post the times again, and also just the website, which I can post a link at. But the games have been phenomenal. This is the last weekend. Everybody watch these games. That are incredible. Tomorrow, U.S. Women's National Team plays Brazil. We've got two ties. I'll go into a deeper dive of how if Jill Ellis, the coach, stops tinkering, we should be able to win the World Cup. But she tinkers so much, and it's making me so aggravated that I can't really function as a human being. Anyway, that's tomorrow, Brazil. Also, women's NCAA tournament, women's and men's. But, of course, I'm going to do the deep dive with women's. All the divisional tournaments are this week and this weekend. And there's going to be some phenomenal games. Specifically, I do believe it's is it ACC? Yeah, it's what I'm basically looking for is Louisville to play Notre Dame in the finals of the ACC tournament. But you've got SEC, you've got ACC, you've got all the tournaments this end of this week, weekend. If you're in LA, come to Long Beach. I'll be watching UCLA play Utah all day on Sunday.
Yeah.
Come say hi. So I'll do some extra podcasts about that, and then I'll be doubling up this week. I'm gone next week, but don't worry about it. I'm going to do an extra one this week and post next week. Feel good moment of the week. Now there's so many, and I'll do a couple extra. But this one I pulled out because it was so awesome. The U.S. Women's National Team, they swapped out their jerseys and the names of inspirational women. So, you know, everyone from Sally Ride to Serena Williams, Brianna Scurry, Doris Burke, Beyonce, Maya Angelou, Abby Wambach. It was so cool to see. The jerseys were better than what schemes they came up with on the field, quite frankly. But it was so cool to see these women. Now, the U.S. Women's National Team, I mean, their fan base is enormous. It's mostly women. To see all these kick-ass women jerseys on with the women that inspire them the most. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
I thought maybe just a couple misfires. I'm not sure if we need a Cardi B, I literally was like, that's fine. Robin Roberts, Sojourner Truth. Of course, Megan Rapinoe does Audre Lorde, who is like, of course. Yeah. I mean, if you want to be inspired by like the set of quotes for Audre Lorde alone, I mean, she's, you know, women are powerful and dangerous. That's like an epic photo of her by a chalkboard. But it's, you know, I have to say the only one that I was like, I'd have to, Becky Sauerbrunn has always been one of my all-time favorite players, and she picked Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I would have battled it out for Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Any choices? Who would you have gone with?
I mean, I hate to be a basic bitch, but I would have done Beyonce. I just would have. I mean, I'm coming here being honest with you.
That's not a bit. I mean, Mallory Pugh, one of our rising shining stars, picked Beyonce. So totally. I think my backup plan was I might have even done Sotomayor because she's so fierce and she's from the Bronx and she's a big time Yankees fan.
Okay.
But also I think I would have gone, if I went the sports route, I would have done Beth Mowins, who is one of my all time favorites. She's a phenomenal announcer and she has been at it. She was the first woman to cover an NFL game.
Oh, wow.
She does all the softball tournament. She does basketball. She's just such a pioneer for women's broadcasting.
Mm.
And she's got the best fucking voice ever. And I'm obsessed with her. So I think I probably would have done Beth Mowins. And politically, I would have battled it out with Becky for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But it's, and I'll post the link. They put all the photos up and it was just so feel good and amazing. I mean, Andy Sullivan, who's an up-and-comer, she's was a collegiate player of the year. She picked Jessica Mendoza, who I've been obsessed with forever. And now she's a phenomenal softball player. And now she's in the booth for Sunday Night Baseball. I mean,
that's awesome.
It was just, Emily Sonnet picked Tina Fey. I mean, they're just, it was so cool.
Great. Tina Fey's a great pick.
Oh, such a great pick. Anyway, that is our show. If you live in Los Angeles, I'll be at Flappers this Friday and Saturday, March 8th and 9th. Yes, March 8th. Mm-hmm. It's 8 and 10 o'clock. All the information's on AaronKFoley.com or FlappersComedy.com. So I've got four shows this weekend in Los Angeles. Please come to the show. Say hello. I'm also going to be posting discount tickets. And if you need some comps, you can always hit me up. I have links for all of that stuff. So go on AaronKFoley.com or you can email me at sportswithoutballs@gmail.com. You can send me sports stuff. You can ask for tickets. And if you're in L.A., I will hook you up with that.
That's so nice.
Kelsey, where can people find you? Tell us what's going on.
Yeah. So my website is kelseycook.com for tour dates. When does this come out?
Tomorrow.
Perfect. I'll be headlining Spokane Comedy Club March 28th through the 30th. And then...
That's fantastic. Spokane's so charming.
That's my hometown. I love it so much. And then I'll be headlining Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids April 4th through the 6th. So if you are in that area, go to kelseycook.com and grab tickets. My Instagram is... Kelsey Cook Comedy. My Twitter is Kelsey Cook. And my podcast is Self Helpless, which Aaron mentioned at the beginning. And the web series is Wrist of Fury. So go watch some foosball. It's so fun.
So much Kelsey Cook to get a hold of. Yeah, go watch her perform and then start watching Wrist of Fury, which I'm going to start watching immediately. Yeah.
If you follow me on Instagram on my highlights, there are actual clips of me playing foosball from tournaments, like serious clips. So those are kind of fun to watch.
All right, good. I'll tag all of this tomorrow when I put it out. Aaron, we didn't get to Harper, but we've got Johnny in here in a couple days. We'll do baseball.
Okay.
The peach is the draft. I play fantasy baseball, but my buddy Liz is going to help me this year. I have to get my keepers in by Friday and the draft starts Monday. So I already don't have a life and now I'm going to have less of a life now that fantasy baseball draft starts, which is so it's aggressive. Let's just put it that way. So, I will be sending Aaron a lot of, should I pick this person in all caps texts. So get ready for that, Aaron.
I'll be there for you.
Year four, Aaron and Aaron. Thank you so much for being such an awesome guest.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Please come back on with your mom.
I would love that.
Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family, have the best week of your life.